What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Black Expat. My name is Carl, and I'm excited to be rocking with you guys for yet another episode. I know you're probably wondering why my voice sounds different. It's because this is a very special episode, a Chicago-style episode, if you will. So you may hear a lot of Chicagoisms throughout the episode. If you have any questions about what those words mean, please email it to me, Instagram it to me, or you can ask our special guest for today, whose name is... Allow her to reintroduce herself. Her name is...
Hi, everyone. My name is Erica, and as Carl said, I'm from Chicago.
Erica G. No, that's fair. That's her name. Erica G. Yes, now, I don't give you her full name, though, because, you know, we got stalkers out here. But welcome to the podcast, Erica. You know a lot about me, but this podcast is all about you.
Wow.
Please tell the audience a little bit about yourself before I tell them a little bit about what I want them to know about you.
Okay. So... Can we stop?
Nope, ain't no stopping.
No, we can't stop. Nope. Oh my goodness.
Ain't no stopping.
Interesting. Okay. I usually don't do this. All right. I am from Chicago. I briefly lived in Hawaii. And now I am in Taiwan. I've been here for about 10 months.
What brought you to Taiwan?
Well, I was looking for a complete change in careers. So I was thinking, oh, what can I do that would be completely different from what I was previously doing, which was working in the hospitality industry. So
that's short for chef, for those of you guys that didn't follow.
Yes, yes. So I started doing my research, and I noticed that I could teach English abroad and live in a different country, which is something I've always wanted to do, live in a different country, not teach. So I did my research, and Taiwan seemed like a great place to come to.
Before we get into that, wait, you was in Hawaii doing what? You was in Hawaii cooking?
Yeah, I just moved to Hawaii.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. You're from Chicago. I was like, man, what should I do tomorrow? Oh, shit, let's just pack up and go to Hawaii. Like, how did you end up in Hawaii? That's a place people dream of traveling to, but you were just like nonchalantly, yeah, I live in Hawaii. I was cooking lobster and shrimp tails. And like, how did you end up there?
So, my friend actually brought up the idea, like, oh, we should move to Hawaii. And of course, nothing was like holding me back in Chicago. So I'm like, why not? I've never lived on an island before. Let's go. So yeah, we moved within a month.
What was like, okay, again, that just sounds real. Like, oh yeah, you know, nothing was holding me back. I just packed up my bags and go. A lot of people always say that, but it never really comes to fruition because there's things that eventually do end up holding them back. So like, was it a situation where it was like, all right, I want to move. I have the money to move. I'm going to get on the airplane and find a job when I get there?
Oh, no.
Or was
no.
it like a pre-planning okay. process?
So sure, it wasn't much planning. It's so at the time I was working for a grocery store. And they have many locations, so I just applied to a location in Hawaii, got the job, then moved.
You mean to tell me it was as simple as looking at the company you work at?
Yes.
What other locations they had within America, but still on the island in America. Applied for it, got it, and then was like, okay, cool, I'm moved.
Yes, even if I wanted to work at their locations that are not in America, I could have did the same thing.
Would you mind sharing the name of this company?
Whole Foods
Market. Shut up. Really?
Yes.
That is amazing. And how long were you tenured at Whole Foods before you like decided, I'm going to go to Hawaii?
Oh, no. I've been there a few years, but it doesn't matter because it was a new store. I changed stores often. I worked at many stores. As long as you...
are in good standing with
yes,
the company.
Yes, are in good standing. They allow you to apply elsewhere.
It's one of those hidden gems that I always tell people about. It's like how people first not just get out of the country, but get out of their home state. Like, what's something that you always want to do? Get out of the city of Chicago? Because I don't want to speak for you, but I know I always miss certain elements of Chicago. I miss most things about Chicago, but not all the time. Sometimes.
Okay.
But like, yeah, was it always something that you wanted to do to get out of Chicago? Or?
Oh, yes. I never plan on just staying in Chicago for the rest of my life because I don't particularly care for the winter weather. Mm. So when the opportunity came, it was like, why not?
Why not? That's very, very interesting. And then from Hawaii, you're like, I want to keep living on islands.
Yes, that was my thought. But, you know, I didn't. I guess I didn't do enough research about Taiwan because this weather is nothing reminiscent of the island weather that I'm used to.
You mean the one Hawaiian island you're on like that?
No, island. But like even like in my travels, I like to go to islands. I went to Jamaica, Aruba. I like islands. Mm-hmm. So Taiwan, yeah, I don't know what this is.
Would you say that, like, how long were you in Hawaii? Full year?
No, less than a year.
Were you there during the winter time?
Yes.
What was the weather like during winter?
70 degrees.
Similar to Taiwan.
So jacket weather. But no, it's no. No, Hawaii's weather is like much better than Taiwan's. It gets cold here, but in Hawaii, it wasn't really cold, but since your body adjusts to the heat, it felt cold. But Taiwan is actually cold.
Like, okay, because the temperature always says like 60, 65, 70. Because I always said it's a wet cold depending on where you live.
That's not Hawaii.
Hawaii doesn't have that?
Well, that's not the island I was on. I don't know about the other islands, but I was on Oahu, and I lived in Honolulu, so I felt like the weather was perfect.
Okay. Because, I mean, I've been to other islands, too, and they've been chillier at night because we've been, like, right on the water. It's always depend on where we live and how high up we live.
Yes.
So the weather's different. I know in Taiwan, we are now in Taichung, it's flatter, but also the mountains around us, so we get that mountain wind. So it's not that it's cold, it's just that it's windy, and that wind... that Chicago wind chill kick in and get underneath your jacket and like stick to you. That's why it's a little bit colder in Taiwan. However, for someone coming from Chicago during the winter to Taiwan, they're like, oh, you complaining about this 65, 70 degree weather? It's your punk ass. So.
Yes, but no, because I originally came to Taiwan during the winter. So I came here February.
You were in the northern part of the island though?
Yes.
Where it's colder?
Yes. Okay. I was shook. Distraught. Didn't see the sun for months. I was so confused. Where was I?
I talked about this on other podcasts. When I first came, I lived in Dan Shui, the northernmost tip. So the north of the island is very different than the south. In the south right now, it's legit 85 degrees in the daytime and 70 degrees at night. And it feels, I'm assuming, like the temperature you felt in Hawaii.
Yeah.
But again, different parts of the island. So the northern part, I lived in Dan Shui, which is the northernmost tip. At one point, it rained for 8 consecutive weeks.
Like,
not one day went without rain. But Dan Shui it's called Dan Shui. The word Shui in Chinese means water because it's right on the water. So we don't get the heavy hits of the typhoons because there is a mountain right there, but we get all the water. And I was like, man, what kind of, the jig is up on this. However, in the summertime, when it's 100 plus in Taiwan, Dan Shui was always cooler. So it was like the lesser of two evils. You get 100 degree weather with cooler evenings, but you get long, rainy winters where you don't see the sun.
That's depressing.
Yeah. So at Taichung, where we live now, it rained for like 2 days, but it's been sunny for the most, like, it's been sunny the past few days. So it may not be as warm as we want it, but you always see the sun. And that really does have an effect on your mood on your... So did the weather affect your mood at all
when you first came? Luckily, I did not come here with mental issues. because if I did, I definitely would have had a huge problem. Living in Taoyuan.
What kind of mental issues do you mean?
I'm just saying, like, I'm not depressed or anything. Oh, okay. Nothing wasn't, you know, bothering me mentally.
Oh, okay. You were mentally balanced.
Yeah, I was fine.
Like all things
when I moved
be.
Here, yes.
Thanos. Okay, well, that's good. So, speaking of mental stuff, we're going to get back to how you ended up in Taiwan in a moment. But, yeah, so how do you keep up? How are you so mentally healthy and mentally balanced? Like, how do you sustain that? Because the topic of the month, you guys, is mental health, as you know.
Yes. How do you sustain that? That's interesting because my mental health has definitely failed since moving to Taichung. For me, well, I knew this was going to happen. That's why I originally did not want to move here during this time of year, the holidays. Because I'm away from my family, and then if I moved here from my city I've been in for months, where I establish all my connections and friendships, so like my second family, to come to a city where there's like no one.
I'm right here.
Sure.
I'm right here.
Yes, but you're not always like just available to just...
I am. Just text me. Be like, hey, Carl, what you doing?
Okay, will do. So yeah, it's been a struggle being here, but I feel like the main issue would be just relationships wise, forming relationships with other people. I've only been here 3 weeks now.
Yeah, not too long.
Yeah.
So then how did you form relationships in Taoyuan, which is kind of the northwest side of the island? Like, how did you do that?
Oh, well, I knew from the beginning since I got here that I need to reach out to people, and even if it's on websites. So I did a website called Language Exchange and got me a few native friends from that. Then we hung out often. And when I met other people on the street, black people, I'll definitely stop, chat with them, exchange information, and follow up and see if they wanted to link, meet up, and hang out. And that's how I established my relationships that I have back in my old city.
Have you started doing that here?
Have I started doing that here? Yes. Yes. It's a slow process because, like I said, just moved here. I started work immediately. So yes, I just have to dive more into it.
Because one of the things, and I think I've talked about this before, but I've never talked about it with someone.
Okay.
One of the reasons why when I hire people, specific black, white, or otherwise, but people that I even know a little bit, when they first come, I'm very distant, usually. Not with you, because I see you every day. Working, the work styles is different than where I used to work. But I do that as a sense because I want you to, like, in a sense, not necessarily find your own way. But I noticed that, not just with you, but with other people, when you move somewhere and you have that you know someone or you have that level of comfort, then you're less inclined to go out and do things on your own. Because you're like, oh, if I need something, I know I could just go here. Like, if I need to live those Chicago, I'm a FaceTime Eric, like, hey, girl, what's going on? What to do, baby? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm start using Chicago-isms. But, you know, it's like it's just that knowing that you have something kind of prevents you from going out and doing other things. The best example I have is with Patrick. It's like, he's my best friend, and he's black, and he a dude, and he like play video games, and we have just so happened to own a business together. But like for me, it was a lot of times like I would close myself off from others, or not make myself less available because I knew I could just go and talk to Patrick. And for both of us, that was unhealthy because it's like we need other friends. Like, I love Patrick, best friend in the whole world, that's my brother. I don't want to see him every day. I also don't want to talk to him every day. And that's not a bad thing. There's some days where we legit, I would walk in the house and not say two words to him. He'd be like, what's good? I'm like, what's good? That's it. And we both know it's like, all right, cool. You need your time, or Carl needs his time.
Yes.
Cool, I'm gonna give you your time. I'm gonna go to my room, or I'm gonna legit leave the house. But that's one of the things, it's like, I think, I just wanna get your opinion on that. Like, how have I been more of a hindrance to your progression, myself or Patrick? Or are you gonna use me as like, I don't want to say a soundboard, but like a springboard into new opportunities and meeting new people?
Well, no, I wouldn't say you've been a hindrance, because, like, even with how often I see you, I still have the desire to be around other people.
Wow, so you don't like me.
No, you're cool, but it's like I'm saying, like, you can't, like, you cannot satisfy all of my needs.
I'm also not a black woman.
Yes, you are not a black woman. Like, that is correct.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's, again, like, Patrick being a black man is very helpful. Like, having a black woman is even better because, I mean, they always smell good. Always smell like black girl. I don't know what that smell is called black girl, but every black woman smells this just like that.
Hilarious.
It is the most amazing smell. I just want a black woman to just come up and hug me first thing in the morning. Like, we ain't got to be butt naked. I just want, like, a fully clothed, amazing black woman to just give me a black woman hug first thing in the morning. Sorry. So what was you saying?
No, that's cool. like I said, yeah, so I don't feel like that I see you guys often.
How often was the interaction you had in Taoyuan with your black friends?
Okay, here's the thing. All right. So it's the type of interactions that I'm having here. It's just like, in Taoyuan, we like did gatherings, went out together, did stuff together. But here, with the few black people that I met or know, the interactions are on a smaller scale, I would say.
Have you, like, okay, I know you've only been for 3 weeks, so I don't want to keep saying have you done certain things, but I do agree. One of the things that I'm really big on is, well, first, I work two jobs pretty much all day, so it's hard for me to do that. I do enjoy on the weekends when I do have free time, or even when I have a day off on Monday, like getting up and getting out and doing something. Like, I like going to the movies. I like going hiking. I like doing those things.
Oh, lovely.
But for me, it's oftentimes it's hard to find, like, a road dog. Like, somebody that's, like, wants to get up and do it with me. Again, while I can ask Patrick, it's just like, man, I do everything else with you. Like, and sometimes he's like, man, I do everything with you. I don't want to do this with you. I don't mind if you tag along, because if you do tag along, we're going to have fun. Two fun-ass dudes.
Yeah.
But I think it's fun, like a road dog. So, I mean, have you met anybody so far that's like, that you've enjoyed or that you could see yourself hanging out with and doing things on a regular basis? Not necessarily like, I know for sure, but just like, oh, I get that kind of vibe where I can hang out and kick it with you. Or do you only want to do these things with black people?
Oh, no. I can't limit myself to only black people because I don't see black people. So, yes, I have met a person from your bar, Josh. He's pretty cool.
Josh,
so, yeah, like we had dinner last night and I helped him with shopping for a jacket. So, what?
At first I thought he was going to say lingerie, and I'm like, why Josh wearing lingerie?
Poor Josh.
Male lingerie, that's a thing.
No, that noise doesn't fit the story. Let me say that. So, yeah, I have one person that I can link up with at the moment and just do some random stuff. I'm definitely looking. I will definitely start looking for more people.
Because, like, randomly, I was just walking around campus the other day, and I randomly saw a black girl. She had her headphones in. She was, like, running around. I couldn't get to her fast enough. She was legit haul-ass, and I wasn't about to crash to meet her. But, yeah, I mean, there is one thing I'll say about Taichung is we're hidden. And I know, like, we have the Facebook group that's based in Taipei of Stephanie, like, black people meet up, brothers and sisters.
Yes.
But the reality of it is, a lot of people just aren't on Facebook out here, or they're on IG. So it's really hard. But in Taichung, I know we're here. We're just really, really hidden.
Okay.
There's so many times I've been walking down the street, like going to Fengjian Night Market and going to the, like, just random stores and just seeing them, being like, man, where y'all at?
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, where do we go to hang out and have fun? Shameless plug. Like, that's what we kind of want the bar to be, like that haven for black people. Not to encourage them. I think you're a good example of, you don't have to go there and drink. You can simply just go there and hang out. Because if you guys didn't know, Erica don't drink. She take a sip of cider. Her face be red, purple, blue. Bluer than that thing. Be super drunk. But, you know, she doesn't drink the way like me and Patrick drink. So she'll have like one drink. Yesterday she just had water.
Yeah, I don't quite care for the taste of alcohol. So I don't really
except our
drink.
Beer. She thinks our beers taste great.
Sure. Definitely don't like beer. But there's cider I do like.
We got an apple pie cider coming in today. Y'all should come check it
out. Sounds sweet.
Okay, so what have your fondest memories so far? Because you've been in Taiwan, what, 10 months? Fondest memories, takeaways.
Oh, wow. Fondest memories. Oh, my family came to visit me in September, birthday month. We went, I don't know where we went. It was just on a whim. I texted one of my native friends, said, hey, where can we go to do some shopping for some stuff? And he told me a place. I don't know if you know the name. It's by, I have no idea where we went, but it's by water.
Oh, you mean the...
Patrick said he used to live there.
Dan Shui? You went to Taipei. Were you in Taipei? Oh, if Patrick used to live there, she's talking about where he used to live in Dantra, which is right on the water.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's where he used to live. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, that was just so beautiful to me to see the sun set in that area, and music was playing.
Right over the mountains.
Yeah, it's just very beautiful. So that is definitely my fondest moment.
I met Erica's family, too. I also bought her many drinks on her birthday.
Many drinks. I don't even drink.
Oh, girl, you was teeing on your birthday. We got pictures. I'm sitting there acting like you want to type that.
also, another fond moment, I guess, was actually finally coming to the bar, because I knew about it a few months after I got here.
Dang.
So I always wanted to come, and my family came, So I think that was a good experience for me, meeting you all.
And you brought some of your friends from Taoyuan, black friends. Black women from Taoyuan.
Definitely had to support.
They were amazing too.
Yes.
Appreciate y'all coming down. Okay. So what are you looking forward to? Like, what's your plans moving forward? Like, what's not necessarily your personal plans, but like goals that you have, things you want to accomplish since you're here. Like, how are you seizing the moment? Like, what are you looking forward to? I mean, you have a new job now, so you have way more vacation time than you previously had.
Oh.
So like, what are you planning to do?
Explore the island for sure. Haven't been many places. Just like Taipei, Taichung, Tainan. Continue exploring the island. Definitely make more connections out here in my city and in other cities. I do care to have a male companion, but it's tough based off what I'm looking for.
What are you looking for?
Well, I would prefer... Well, I would prefer to date a black man, but y'all not right out here. Mentally, y'all gone.
When I say y'all, like let's not put us all into one big melting pot of ancient niggas. But I understand what you mean. I think, because one of the things I have, there aren't in Taichung at least, there aren't that many black men here. Like I've met...
Tragic.
Our age group, I've only... Wow, yeah, me, Patrick, Nate.
Wow.
That's all I can... I'm sure there's more. Oh, no. Sir Grimy, I forget his name. Nick.
Sir Grimy?
Yeah, that's his Instagram name.
Everybody, see, that's already... No,
Nick, Nick's a name. Nick's a great guy. It's Sir_Grimy, so we don't know what the underscore means. But, like, he's a great... I remember his Instagram name because I always see him on IG. But, no, he's a great guy. There are black... No, I met another... This Nigerian guy, but... There are black men out here. Now, again, I don't want to sound acting like I'm defending black men.
No, but I do want to
say.
Fine, yeah.
I just want to say, like, wait to meet some other. Because one thing that I think I've heard from a lot, not from you, but before a conversation I had on another podcast when talking about dating here is that they would meet one black guy out here before they met me. But they'd meet one black guy out here, and then they just, like, categorize us as all because like, oh, that's your friend. You should have told me your friend was da 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 da. I was like, first of all, I ain't know the level of your relationship. Second of all, you ain't asked me. Third of all, you should have chose me, baby girl. Nah, I'm joking. I said that one time back in 2013. But yeah, I always just say, be patient. Only 3 weeks, but also there are
good, no, but it's 10 months in Taiwan. I've met black men, but
how many? Could you count on two hands or more than two?
Let's see. Well, in my city alone, I can count on one hand. So, in general, well, in all, two.
Have you been out, not only say partying, but socializing in Taipei? Not Taoyuan, but
No.
That's it is. Because I can legit take you, still to this day, to like three places where you would meet, and one night you'd meet like 20 plus black men. And I mean, you don't want to date all of them, obviously. I mean, you can. It's your life. Live it how you want to live, baby girl. But you can meet, like, more of them. But not the, oh, we go out and club and drink kind. It's like the, I want to have a conversation with you. Like, what are you into? Like, things like that. And from that, build relationships. Not necessarily dating relationships, but
Yes. Build
those relationships. Because that's how you meet other people that are doing the same thing. And also, that just look like you.
Okay.
But also, so are you, because I don't want to get too much into your business, but because just from what you heard, like being able to pack up and move to Hawaii, being able to pack up and move to Taiwan, and being open and flexible to what you do moving forward in the future, relationship-wise, is that the case? Like, say you met this amazing chocolate guy from Brazil.
Where is he?
And he's like, como se llama? They speak Portuguese. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. I don't know if I speak Portuguese, but from Brazil or somewhere, and he's just like, hey, you guys hit it off. 3 months y'all together. He's like, y'all in lust, because I don't feel like you can't love nobody to at least 5 months. That's just
okay.
Me.
Okay. All right, yeah, I feel
would
that.
Would you, like, pack up and move to Brazil?
Well, not if I'm in lust. however, I've always wanted to live in South America region. Actually, I was going to move there before coming here, but then I'm like, how am I going to support myself? So let's go to Asia first.
Hmm.
So yeah, I'm definitely willing to move around the world for love, because it's just part of what I naturally want to do. Travel, get to learn more about different cultures. And so that just fits into my plan.
Could you see yourself like settling down to a like long permanent, like, all right, let's do 10 years in New Zealand and then we'll go back to America, like once you pop that first babe out or something like that?
10 years, I don't know about 10 years, but I can do some years.
Okay.
In a different country.
Have you been to Australia yet?
I have not.
What countries are next up on your travel list?
Actually, I have not thought that far. Just because, like I said, mentally, since I've moved here, it's been rough. So I haven't thought about, oh, where do I want to travel to next? Because with the move, you just want to feel like you're at home. And with me moving during the holidays, I'm not thinking about, oh, what country I'm going to go to next. No, I just want to feel like I'm at home and settled and I'm okay.
I challenge you on that by saying, why not shift that a little bit?
Okay.
How? I understand the feeling of being at home. The way I always think about it is, where I live, I want to make that space for me as comfortable as possible. Mm-hmm. And little elements of home for me are just like pictures everywhere and things like that, and that feels like home. But during the holidays, what I've always done, or what I've done in the past, is those are the times you feel most connected to home. But the reality of it is, you're so disconnected from home that it's okay to disconnect a little more, for yourself to have that realization that, all right, I'm okay and I'm not at home, but I'm also having a good time. It's so hard to, in a place where you work, mm-hmm, and you live and you're trying to build this idea and this feeling of home, to make it feel even more like home when things going on at home are pulling you to be more connected to your actual home, if that makes sense. I tried to find a better way to say that as I was saying it. But like planning a new trip and a vacation, do those things make you excited? Do you get anxious about them? Do you look forward to them? Because right now, I say that to say, what are you looking forward to in the short term? Not like 2, 3, 4 months from now, but just like, you know, you have a 3-week vacation coming up.
Yes.
And like, I feel like, it's my opinion, maybe false, correct me if I'm wrong, but if your mindset is so on home, what would happen if you shifted it toward, I know I'm not home already, I understand that. I'm going to process that in little ways each day by trying to do some things that remind me of home. But now I'm looking forward to, in 3 weeks, bam, I'm on a plane, I'm going here. And now when you're talking to people back home, you're sharing what you're looking forward to instead of sharing what you miss and what was in your past.
No, I don't share what I miss. Like, that's not what I do. It's just, I just want to have the feeling of being secure, comfortable.
Like a blanket or something?
Yeah, sure. I just want that blanket covering you feeling. So what am I looking forward to? So for the upcoming holiday, yeah, I just look forward to traveling on the island. I don't think I want to travel to another country at the moment.
Why not?
I think it'll give me anxiety.
Why?
I don't know. I told you, just mentally, I'm not where I used to be since moving here. So I just feel like it'll give me anxiety.
Challenge a little bit. Feel free to stop me. But
okay.
Traveling in the country where English isn't the primary language versus potentially traveling to a place like, let's just say, Singapore, where English is the primary language and you can get like a relaxing time and kind of disconnect from even Taiwan, would be less, which one has less anxiety just from hearing that?
Just from hearing that.
Less anxious.
But you said Singapore.
Imagine going, like, again, being, they speak English. Like, okay. You can order your food on your own. Like, there's none of the daily challenges that come, with living in Taiwan.
Okay, yes, that sounds better.
A place like Australia, I said Australia for a reason, because the weather's perfect there. It's spring. But imagine like 85 and sunny, but all day.
Lovely.
But imagine meeting, it's a cultural melting pot too. Mm-hmm. So when I was in Australia, I met people from India, white people, bunch of black people. Like, we were legit walking on the street, and this guy was like, hey, y'all black? I was like, yeah. So, hey, come to this reggae club later. and I'm going to this reggae club with him. It was dope. It was like seven people in that place. It was all black. It was playing dope ass music.
Okay.
Good ass drinks. He's like, hey, I'm going to DJ at this other spot. It's a private party. So dope mixed crowd. That's the first time I heard the song. Man's not hot, never hot. But man, when we walked in that piece, we had VIP access. We got free drinks. But this random black guy, we got into his car. Like, he had a putt-putt. For y'all in Chicago, a putt-putt is a car that barely starts. We got in that mug. It was a three-seater. I'm not lying, y'all. It was an actual three-seater because the other seat had something in it that you ain't even want to touch. But it was a three-seater. We got in that mug. We rode it. I was legit on the back of the window. My back was pressed up against the back of the window because the car was so small. I don't even remember what kind of car it was. But it was me, and I was with CP Travis at the time. And this girl, Ashton, Soror, Z5. And we're with this guy. And we just trusted him because he was black. Took us out. Had a great time. Like, the party was huge. It was like club style, but it was sectioned off. But we had access to all the sections, all because we were black. Met a black guy. Met hella black girls. Hella black girls.
I'm glad you had a hella good time.
All bad, too. All
of bad. Yeah, I'm trying to see them, too.
But I say that to say, again, I can talk to y'all about that experience later because I just had all the flashbacks. The night was crazy. But I say to say, it's like, yeah, like, I know it could seem, traveling can seem, it does bring a lot of anxiety just with leaving a place where you feel comfortable. But sometimes it's good to go to a place where you wouldn't even think that you would feel more comfortable because you eliminate some of the daily struggles you have just with the language here.
Yes.
Like me, I speak the language, so I can navigate around easily. So I get more anxious traveling to, I don't know, a place I've never been to. I used to. I travel so much now, it's like, whatever, gang, gang, hard to gang shit. But yeah, I would just say look into that.
Okay.
Be open to that. Because Singapore is $250 ticket round trip. It's expensive as hell once you're there. But again, you don't drink, so that cuts down your expenses a lot. But great food, great weather, Disneyland, Disney World. I mean, if you want to buy me a ticket for my birthday, we can go together. I mean, it'd be great. I'm not saying splurge on your boy, but I'm saying, you know.
You know, we both getting a little check January 5th.
I would turn it down, you know what I'm saying? But no, I mean, yeah, definitely. Look into that, because I get the feeling of wanting to make it feel like home, but that's more of a challenge than simply shifting your mindset a little bit and trying something different. And I'm sure you can find somebody to take a 3 or 4 day trip to Singapore with you, like, for sure. Even if it's Connie from downstairs, she need to get out there.
I'll contact some people today, actually.
Yeah, but also don't wait on people. Do it on your own.
No, I typically, but you all, I typically do things on my own, but I would like company, so I do contact people first. Carl, yeah, I want to have company, but if they're not gonna come, my plans still go on.
Okay, I'm out from Chicago, and I asked all my friends to come out. Ain't none of the motherfuckers made it out here except Blake and my sister and my cousin and my other cousin. But other than that, no, they ain't made it out here.
Well, my family didn't have a choice.
Right.
I booked their flights. Pay me back. Didn't have a choice.
I wish. Y'all hear that, mom? You hear that, mom? Hear that, Angel? You balling that girl. You got a job. Come visit your brother. Oh, well, that's good. Huh, man, we had a good conversation. No winning ways. I didn't think it was going to go to. I have tons more questions.
Okay, then keep asking.
No, we have to. So one of the things I do, I want to do follow-up interviews. So this is your 3-week mark.
Yes.
Taichung, not necessarily in Taiwan. I definitely want to follow up 3 months after to kind of see where you are headspace wise, but also you might get some questions that come in based on this podcast. But what's it like being not just a black woman, but a woman here? What's the woman experience like?
Woman experience.
Compared to your experiences in America and even Hawaii.
I don't compare it to my experiences in America. I don't know. I just feel like it's not a big difference. Men are still the same. They still. With the nonsense.
Yeah,
I received my first dick pic on my birthday.
Really?
From a native guy. I met in a grocery store.
I mean, was he trying to impress you, or was he just trying to get your attention?
I was definitely not impressed. He could have kept that, but
Alright, that was funny. See what I did there?
Yes. Woo. Yes. So yeah, guys are the same all over the world. So I don't feel different about being a woman here. But it does matter that I'm black because the stairs still haven't stopped.
Like the good stairs? Like, what do you mean the stairs haven't stopped?
The stairs, they just stare at you. they see you, just stare at your face until you walk past.
That's Because you're so beautiful. You gotta master the stare back and the main
mug. No, I do stare back.
I transition between a main mug and a stare back. Because if I main mug, then they'll be like, oh, he's angry. I don't want to look at him. If I smile back, they'd be like, he's weird, yet approachable. Let me ask a stupid ass question.
But guys, they're most dramatic when they stare. Like, they are the ones that make noises or almost get into an accident because they're staring at me.
Damn, you that beautiful. Yeah, I see. Whatever. Whatever. Wow, you have people losing their life. Man.
That's horrible.
Woo. I mean, you do kind of look like Sierra, so I
whatever.
Do
see
that. You may look at me and think that I... Sorry, I broke out into song. I don't do that on the podcast usually. Please excuse me, but okay. Would you recommend anybody that you know or just people from Chicago to come out here? And if so, why? And if so, why not?
Okay, would I recommend people come out here to live? You're saying to live.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely would. It's much safer out here. I would say it's easy enough to navigate. They have public transportation. Anywhere you go, someone speaks English, even if they don't. You have Google Translate. I think it'd be a good experience for people to come out here and live, partake in a different culture, see how they're living. Yeah, just to try something different, I would recommend people come out here. But I will inform them about the weather. Because I think that's the worst thing about Taiwan is the weather.
The worst thing?
Yes. I hate the humidity.
Oh, it is very humid, yes.
I hate it. Like, just step outside and you're sweating. Like, what?
What, it's like, do you feel like diet wise do you feel healthier compared to here?
Oh no, I definitely had to cut down my rice intake. That's wild. Like, I've never eaten rice this much in my life. Gotcha. And they do this every day, multiple times a day, so I definitely had to cut that to a minimum.
If you go to our fridge, we definitely got spaghetti in there. Get you some spaghetti.
You wouldn't tell me who made it.
No, that's true.
Mystery spaghetti. She said she did not make it. Yo, you're well.
It's like, what do you eat? I mean, because you're a culinary expert, so like, what do you eat?
Oh, that's another thing I hate about Taiwan. There's stoves. So in apartments, they just, if they even put anything in there, they just give you like one stovetop, like...
One eye.
Yeah, one eye. Yeah, sorry. One eye. They give you one eye. And I'm like, what the hell? I need multiple because I'm trying to chef it up, you know. So that's tough.
You can buy a little hot plate for maybe $120 that has two eyes on it. And then you can have the one eye going and put one next to you and do it. I know because in our house, we have three.
Yeah.
But it's still for two men that don't cook for each other. It's not enough because Patrick be having three going. I need my three going. And then somebody going to be hungry that night. Okay. We're going to fight it out.
Yeah, I just got to rotate schedules.
Yeah. Super tight, unfortunately.
Yeah, so what I eat. Actually, oftentimes I find myself like, I don't want none of this shit. None of it. I'm upset. I don't want anything. And I live near Night Market. I haven't bought anything from any of those stalls yet. I just don't want any Asian food. I do not want it. And then I don't necessarily want to eat like McDonald's or something. So like the past few nights, I've just been like eating a piece of fruit, going to bed. Like, I've been upset. No, because look, I went to the grocery store so I can make me some black bean soup. And here, your Carrefour is much different from the one back in my city. I'm like, the fuck? Where's the international aisle? I don't see anything I want to make this soup. So I was highly pissed. And I definitely did not want to eat any Asian food.
You know, there's a Jason's in the city at the that has all the, but Din Tai Fung is, it has all the food that you would need.
Oh, okay.
That's a place to be. Because I haven't been to the new Carrefour, but I know for sure that the one in the mall downstairs in the basement next to the H&M. I think it's H&M. Is it H&M or whatever the other store called? Yeah, H&M.
You're talking about Unidor. Top City?
No, top. Yeah, Top City.
Okay.
Downstairs. There's Jason's.
Oh, I was just there yesterday. Mm-hmm.
So right where Din Tai Fung is, there's a little supermarket back there. It has everything that you need. So if you guys come to Taiwan, yeah, you can get your food you need. You got to look for it, though.
Yeah,
so you gotta start asking me when you need stuff.
Will do.
So, hey, I need to get this kind of food. Cool, because I actually got black beans in my cabinet right damn now.
You plan on using them? Yeah, no, but tough. I need a lot of other ingredients too. So,
man, I brought black eyed peas back. Hey, you want to make black eyed peas?
Sure.
Okay, I'm gonna go. We got bacon.
Oh, you do?
Put that bacon. Cool. I make sure the kitchen clean. Or I just move all Patrick dirty dishes to the side.
No, make sure that kitchen clean. Yo.
Don't do our kitchen. Don't do my best friend. Okay, cool. Yeah. How's teaching going?
Teaching. Oh, it's much different here. Because, so originally I started at a cram school. That was my previous job at a cram school. So after school. Lovely hours.
You know? Started from the bottom, now you're here.
You just come there to work and you go home, you know? So
she worked like 4 hour days.
Yeah, 4 hour days. Lovely.
And they paid you in cash daily?
Yes, daily.
Mm-hmm. On the spot.
But here, I'm now in private school and it's normal school hours. Eight to five.
Whack. Salary.
But the biggest difference to me will be the attitudes of the children. So sure, children in both areas, in McCran school and in the private school, they didn't quite care to learn English, but at the cram school, they still tried. But in this private school, it's like, sheesh, they don't give a damn.
It's a lot more having to motivate than walking into people that are already motivated. At least a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that would be the biggest difference for me that I definitely don't like. Like, they're not motivated at all to learn anything.
Okay.
So it kind of feels like, oh, why am I here? This is pointless.
Except that check, baby girl. Pick up the check. But also, I mean, you did come in the middle. You came to replace someone that you made me fire. So, I mean, you know, it's, and also these, it wasn't like your class from the beginning. It's very different when you have a class from the beginning of the semester and you're able to build that relationship over the course of a semester. Sometimes it takes a year, but then you kind of build that bond. They're like, oh, that's Teacher Erica, that's my teacher. And then you can kind of encourage them in ways that is best for you instead of trying to replace someone, you know?
Yes.
So next semester, hopefully you'll have a few different classes. So that way you can kind of start over with them in your own way, and then they can become more of your class. Because that's one of the things about Taiwan is the people that have the best experiences are able to forge relationships with their students.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not happen within a month's time. Like, it does take time.
Yes.
But, I mean, if you're good enough, then they'll like you after the first week. But everybody can't be the Patrick of teaching. Because that, people just say, I don't know what it is about him. He's a great teacher.
But oh, lovely.
I don't want to say he's a great teacher. He was a great teacher.
You say you don't want to say it?
No, I mean, I don't want to say only that, but okay. Like, very personable with the students. So they always just would gravitate toward him. I don't know if it was because of his hair, his face, or his lack of a mustache, but it was just something about that beard that, you know. That
yeah, I've had several classes bring up Patrick.
Someone he ain't even talk. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
That's the power of the black skin, though. You're going to be the same way.
Do you know Patrick? Do you live with Patrick? Yeah.
Are you Patrick's girl?
Right. Wouldn't stop.
They never asked me about Patrick's brother. I'm looking.
They asked me about the bar directly. They said, have you been to Arts and Crafts? They said it. I'm like, wow, you all know a lot. All right.
Man, word spreads fast on this campus. I'm glad they don't know or think that I work there. Good for that.
True.
Anything else you'd like to share with our audience? Any closing thoughts, feelings, emotions? Anything for young black women that listen to this podcast? I will share this with the high school in Chicago. You'd like for them to know or to remember or to think about or to process?
Okay. Anything I'd like to share. Well, since you're sharing this with high school students, for those who are listening, don't be afraid to try new things. Life is about the experiences and what you make of them. So, if you're thinking about doing something, definitely go for it. Most likely you won't regret it. And try to enjoy your life as much as you can. Don't just be stuck in one situation or in one city or, you know, to one man, raggedy man. Get out, explore the world, make new connections, and your life will definitely improve from there.
Thank you. That was wise words of wisdom. I'm going to switch back to my my Herb Kent and the Cool Gent voice. Those are wise words of wisdom. Thank you, Erica G, for joining
Herbie,
us
baby.
Here on WGC. You guys are Chicago, you understand that. Thank you so much for joining us. Any questions for me? I did ask you a lot of questions.
Oh, I can ask you questions.
Yeah, ask me anything. I'm an open book sometimes.
An open book.
I also wrote a book. Check it out. Link in bio, The Unexpected Perspective. Book 2 coming May 2020.
Okay, I'll buy a copy. Okay, ask you questions. So, Carl, why don't you date black
people? All right, y'all, we're going to end the podcast right there. I do. The myth that Carl doesn't date black women is just that. It is a myth. I do date black women, but as you have experienced, I've experienced even more. There are far fewer black women here than black men. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the black women that are here are either older than me. I won't say old, but older than me. Too young. That's the age that I'm at now.
So you're not into vets?
I am not. I'm not out here chasing older waterfalls. No. Sticking to the rivers and the lakes that I'm used to.
Okay.
But yeah, it's not necessarily that I don't, because I have. I've dated, I won't say many, but I've dated a few black women in my lifetime. And I've always wanted to. I've always said this since, even when I dated someone, I said I've always saw myself marrying a black woman and having little black kids. Yeah. I've always seen myself like that. However, it's just access.
Yeah.
And I'm a very, and the, when I have tried to date either long distance or here, back before I was in Taichung and had the bar, we traveled all the time. And a lot of them wanted like a level of consistency that I could not grant them. And I didn't want to be, I'm not the kind of dude to be like, oh yeah, yeah, don't worry about it. We'll make it work, we'll make it work.
Yeah.
No, we're not. And I'm just going to be on, like, not necessarily that, like, if you are willing to accept how I am going to be,
Yes. Then
yes, we can make it work. And if I also have to be willing to accept your level of expectation for me. And that's the kind of conversations I would often have. And I would still try. I'll say, you know what? I'm going to try it. But if we were consistently arguing, or we had disagreements, or if I posted a photo or she posted a photo and one of us got mad, it's just like, this isn't healthy for us. We could be having more meaningful conversations just as friends. So I still have those people as friends,
yes.
But it's just a level of access. And honestly, I'm not the tallest guy in the world, and most women that come out here, I've heard several times, like, oh, I'm too short. I've gotten that. But I'm secure enough with myself to not care about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had that from black women. I don't know, you're just showing me a tall black man, like fetishizing me, even as another black person. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay. But no, I've had met, I did, if you listen to the, yesterday, you were here when I was podcasting about,
yes,
Alicia Keys and how I almost was married back in 2014. Because, man, that's one black woman that, whew, I almost crying thinking about it. But yes, I do date black women. It's just, same with you, it's just access.
Yes, beautiful. Okay, and speaking of marriage, you know, you have another birthday coming up soon, January 12th, correct?
I do.
Okay, so you're getting older.
Mm.
Are you thinking of marriage, children, family?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've always wanted to be married. I think the time frame has shifted, because back when you asked me and I was 20 to 25, it's like, yeah, married by 30. But then once I turned 26 and I realized and I started diving into entrepreneurship, I just understood from a financial standpoint, I'd need more time. But also, I understand if I'm 35 and dating someone who's also the same age as me, then it's hard, just like conceiving children becomes a bit more difficult. So I have to really think about, all right, I have to really assess all that. Like, do I want to date someone younger? Not weird younger, but, you know, younger within a certain parameter. If I dated somebody that was the same age as me, what conversations that we need to start having and what level of preparation I needed. So it's like, when do you decide to put yourself first and when do you decide to start putting family first? But that's a conversation you just can't, and a decision that you just can't make on your own. Like, you have to make that with someone else. So, and also, I don't want to limit myself to, I have to date someone that's younger than me because I need to wait 5 years. That's not okay.
All
because
right,
once you're together, it changes.
Can I cut you off?
Oh, sure.
Because in the beginning you said, from a financial point,
mm-hmm,
you need to push your marriage back, or your date to be married type of thing.
Yeah.
Why? Let's see. So, when I hear men say this often, because I do have a lot of male friends, and it's always that y'all view finances as a reason to not get into that committed relationship, as if your woman cannot help you along the way.
Cool. I'm glad you brought that up. So I don't necessarily view finance as a reason why I can't get into the relationship. That's not the part. The part is, one, there's a lot of stuff I want to touch on that. That's not my big issue because for me, when I say finance, it's like I know how much I've invested in this and I don't have that much financial freedom right now to even date the way that I would want to date someone. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So like I would want to be able to take you out to dinner and buy you nice things and do that. But I also understand that not every girl or woman, I want to say girl, woman would require that. They would be understanding that I know you just bought a whole bar.
Yes.
I know what you're doing. And I see that. So I got your back. The second part of that is not very many women are, well, from my experience, like have that hold you down mentality. And that's something I talked about yesterday. It's like, it's not necessarily holding me down. It's just being understanding.
Yeah.
Cause I don't want to be in a situation where I'm depending on a woman for money. Don't want to do that. Or a woman spending on me for money. Now, if we're together for a while or for a short period of time and I noticeably fall on hard times, that's one thing. But entering into a relationship where there's a level of dependency there, it just isn't healthy from the beginning, no matter what side it is. I think there are certain situations that can be the exception. Like if she's in college and you just happen to not have went to college and you have a job and you know she ain't got stuff. It's like, oh, okay, there's a little extra money for this. Like, I want you to do that. That's a different level.
Yes.
But now where we are, where I am now, it's just that's a completely different. So for me, money isn't a determining factor to commit a relationship or not, or even getting married. Because I know that once you have children or get married, you got to figure it out. You make it work. You make life adjustments. So that's not anything. And I've done that my whole life. It's just that right now, just knowing what I know and needs and all that, how I want to have it done.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I don't have any more questions
Wise
at the moment.
Man, say, don't worry. I actually do want that. If you want to interview me and have more questions, put that on the podcast. No one's ever interviewed me on the podcast.
Oh,
That'd be an interesting episode because I'm going to keep it 100. I'm the most honest person I know, other than Jesus.
I'm glad you know Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yay, mans. Well, thank you so much, Erica, for joining us here on the Black Expat Podcast. Please be sure you click the link in the bio, the links in the bio. My book is in there. You can buy it online. Ships right from your house from Amazon or Book Baby. The fundraiser for the Black Haven, which Erica visits and she's black, I told y'all I wasn't lying, is also in there. Thank you guys for tuning into the Black Expat. My name is Carl.
And I'm Erica.
And we out chill.